This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. 1905 was a very good year for science. Albert Einstein published most of his important papers, including his special theory of relativity, and Freud published his seminal Three Essays on the Theory of Sexuality, a work which revolutionized the way people thought about child development. To celebrate the 100-year anniversary of this important year in scientific history, NPR is running a series about how the work of these two 20th-century geniuses influenced the world we live in. In this next story, reporter Elise Spiegel looks at how, in the 1920s and 30s, Sigmund Freud's ideas helped to create the new field of public relations.
This story of Sigmund Freud begins at the Florida Avenue Grill in Washington, D.C. Now, it might seem a little strange to start a story about the father of psychoanalysis in a soul food restaurant, but it turns out that if you look closely, there's a trace of Freud's influence even here.
I'm going to have bacon and eggs, cheese and eggs.
Bacon and eggs, the all-American breakfast, is the most popular dish at the grill. According to waitress Catherine Leach, no other meal even comes close.
About 60%, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Are ordering bacon
and eggs.
But bacon and eggs wasn't always America's first choice for breakfast. The idea that this was the best way to start your day, like so many other things in American life, was actually systematically engineered by a public relations agent. In this case, a public relations agent who was greatly influenced by, and intimately connected to, Sigmund Freud, his nephew, Edward Bernays. Bernays grew up in America, but spent each summer walking the hills of Austria with his famous uncle. And during those outings, he absorbed many lessons about the inner workings of human psychology, including, says Stuart Ewan, history professor at Hunter College, the conviction that one of Western civilization's most basic assumptions about human nature was deeply flawed.
Up until the early 1900s, one of the sort of fundamental assumptions was this kind of enlightenment idea that people are rational beings and that if you present a well-orchestrated case, you can persuade people. That's the basic logic of the Declaration of Independence.
Freud, however, had a different vision of the human animal. He believed that people weren't rational at all, despite their apparently civilized exterior.
Underneath it is this sort of turmoil of instinct and of unconscious desires. And those kinds of things, although repressed, still exert an enormous power over the way people act.
Sex, aggression, security, self-preservation. When Freud looked out at the world, he saw these drives motivating even the most ordinary activities. A concept, says Anne Bernays, daughter of Edward, grandniece of Freud, her father quickly absorbed.
He ingested it early and just used it. That is, if you want to make somebody do what you want them to, you don't hook into what they say they want. You try to find out what they really want.
Which brings us back to breakfast, to the mid-1920s, when, as a young publicist, Bernays was asked by the Beechnut Packing Company to improve sales of its primary product, bacon. Author Larry Tye has written a book on Bernays called The Father of Spin.
He was basically hired by them to help restore sales that had sagged in a country that was on the run and was trimming its morning meal to juice, toast, and coffee. Now, the average PR guy back then would have told them, oh, put your bacon on sale, and that's a way to sell more of it, or go out and advertise, take out expensive ads in newspapers.
But Bernays clearly wasn't your average PR guy. Taking his cue from Freud, Bernays constructed a campaign intended to speak to a value much more basic than thrift, physical security.
Food is about more than something just to nourish you. It's something to create a sense of well-being about what you're putting into your body.
To connect bacon and well-being, Bernays distributed a survey to doctors. He asked one simple question: do you support a hearty breakfast or a light one? The doctors responded that hearty was best, so Bernays came up with his own definition of hearty: bacon and eggs. With the weight of medical authority behind him, he then initiated an educational campaign, and the all-American breakfast was born.
Before Eddie Bernays, we never thought of bacon and eggs as the all-American breakfast. So he was not just redefining a particular product, he was redefining the whole way America thought about the way they ate breakfast, in a way that persists today.
Of course, Freud's insight into unconscious motivations had a profound impact in a variety of intellectual arenas. In mental health, generations of Americans became archaeologists of the mind. The concept also influenced economic thought and supplied countless graduate students in English with thesis material. But the way this idea transformed public relations is a lesson in unintended consequences. Prior to Freud and his nephew, publicity was all about emulating journalism. But after Freud and Bernays, the goal shifted from rational appeals to the stimulation of visceral impulse. Bernays wrote extensively about precisely how to apply Freud's complex theories, and his techniques were broadly adopted, used to sell everything from soap to presidents, cigarettes to foreign policy, and possibly even genocide.
A reporter from UPI once came back after a visit with Adolf Hitler's PR chief, Joseph Goebbels, and told Eddie Bernays that in Goebbels' library, where they were doing the interview, one or two of Eddie Bernays' books were on those shelves. And it was clear that propaganda people, for better or for worse, used his theories and his ideas all around the world.
Although Freud and Bernays corresponded regularly until Freud's death in 1939, apparently Freud never had a very clear understanding of how his ideas were being applied, and often recoiled when his nephew proposed some new plan to popularize his work.
Eddie Bernays was perpetually suggesting to Sigmund Freud in these letters ways of commercializing his complex psychodynamic theories. He offered at one point to help Sigmund Freud make a whole lot of money if he could sort of put him into quick ditties that housewives and that busy people could sort of remember these take-home messages.
Freud quickly declined Bernays' offer. His biographer, Larry Tye.
Freud saw this as consummately American and just vulgar, and that's probably the way he would have seen if he had understood all the real ramifications of public relations and the way the career developed. I think Freud would have been shocked and outraged by a lot of what happened, but he also would have thought that was America and that was his nephew.
Although Bernays was tremendously proud of his work, in time he too found himself disturbed by how his ideas and techniques were employed by people with whom he disagreed, and Bernays.
He thought it was going to be used well, this kind of manipulative power. He thought or hoped that it was going to be used only for the good of everybody, which I think is unrealistic.
Today, focus groups and opinion polls are used throughout the world to mine the subterranean desires of the consumer. Marketers use MRI machines to peer inside the brain. There are instruments that track eye movements, pulse, skin temperature, all in an effort to better understand emotional response. And despite the fact that we live in the so-called information age, much of the material that bombards us, that tells us what to eat, who to vote for, what to wear, how to feel about war, is not, says Professor Ewan, intended to appeal to our minds.
It's not that the public is incapable of thought, it's that the kind of material that's being shoveled in our direction is designed to bypass thought.
And for that we can thank, at least in part, Sigmund Freud. For NPR News, I'm Elise Spiegel in Washington.
You can hear Edward Bernays talk about helping sell Ivory soap and Lucky Strike cigarettes at our website, npr.org.